First of all, I'd like to just say thank you for giving us the opportunity to go and experience this and sending us out. We made sure to let them know that we represented a bunch of people, and that seemed to resonate with them. It's so fun to experience completely new cultures. It's so exciting to experience just the differences of the way things are done, the way church is done, the way friendships are made, all of that. It's just, it's an absolute blast. And so I hope that even with the few stories that you do hear, I hope that it inspires you and encourages you. And maybe someday you take the plunge. Okay, so I don't remember which is my first picture. Let's see. This is my favorite part. And my favorite part of going to Africa, because it happens, this would be my third trip to Africa. And every time, whenever you come to a site, all of the children come from the woodworks and they run and greet you. You saw a video. I didn't know you had that video. That's so good. That is my favorite part. That is the best part. And I was like secretly hoping. I was like, oh, I hope it's the same here in Uganda, you know? And the very first site we stopped at, we got out and they just kind of run into us and they want to hold every finger and they fight over holding your hands. They want to carry things for you. It's just so precious and so sweet. They are really excited to see visitors. They're so excited that each time we got together, they had a presentation for us to let us know how glad they were for us to be here. You know, we are happy to receive you. So it's a lot of fun. You very much feel welcome. They are very proud of their culture. They're very proud of what they can do and offer you. And so every moment it was a presentation of something, of what they do, who they are, what their culture is like. And it was so precious and it was so rich. And so this is my absolute favorite part of going to Africa. It's just the welcome that we get because the people are so beautiful and they're so precious, so welcoming and loving, and they give. And every time we met up with people, they would tell us, thank you for coming. Please go back and tell your friends to come. All the time. Make sure you tell your friends to come. I was like, okay, I'll tell them. Sure. The next picture I have is, this is probably the cutest kid in the world. Okay. He was so proud. This was my first shoe gift. And so this was my first kid that I actually got to sit down. What happens is you sit them down and you try to talk to them. You measure their feet and then you wash their feet and then you fit them with stockings, and they love their stockings. The higher, the better. So some of them went up to their thighs and that was the best. And then you fit the shoe onto them after washing their feet. And so this was my first guy, and look at that cheese. Look at that smile. He was so proud of his shoes. Whenever you give them their shoes, okay, we might look at these shoes and go, oh, it's kind of funky, you know? They loved them. They loved them. And they were so excited to get shoes and stockings. And they could not be prouder of them. And a lot of times we would have video and then of them, and then like their shoes would be gone. And we're like, wait, where's your shoes? We just washed your feet, put shoes on you. Your shoes are gone. And we found out that they take them and they hide them. They put them in their homes and it's their treasure. So we're thinking, well, you didn't like the shoes. No, they loved them. They don't want them to get dirty. They don't want them to get messed up. We heard a story of a woman who gave the first shoes, and it was to her granddaughter, like one of the artisans who made the shoes. They were able to fit her granddaughter, and she used them as a pillow. They were so precious to her. So they very much value anything we have to give them, and it is treated with such like gold. The next picture I have is Joshua. He is my Kodak moment. Joshua came into my line, and he was one of the most talkative. A lot of times, they don't say much to you. You're trying to have a conversation. They speak English. That's the national language in Uganda, is English. So we're thinking, oh, sweet, this is going to be easy. Have a good conversation, you know? No, no. Kids are pretty much told to stay in line, obey, and respect. That's what they're taught. And they do that very well. Like, they are very respectful to us, very kind to us. But when you start to talk to them and you're like, hey, what's your name? You hear, I'm sorry, come again? Huh? What? Yeah. This kid, he was able to tell me his name full blown, or you just guess a name. You're like, I don't know, Frankfurt? And they just go, yes. It's not their name. You know it's not their name. Like, I'm like, I'm pulling things out, and they're all, yes. No, no. They use their eyebrows to express yes and no. You know, so you know if you ask them a question, are you 8? They'll go, okay, I guess that means yes. So they use their eyebrows a lot. But Joshua was here. He sat down, and he talked to me, told me his name. And he was the first kid I got to, like, take a selfie with. And later on that day, I ran into him again after our shoe give. At that one, we gave over 300 shoes to kids, okay? And after the shoe give, I find him. And our team finds him, and he is not wearing his shoes. And we're like, where's your shoes? And he told one of my teammates that he went home, and he had given them to his brother because his brother saw them and didn't get a pair and was crying. And so he gave them away to his brother. That killed me. But he also helped me translate so I could pray for his oldest brother, who was very disturbed. You could see him, like, pacing in the background. He's causing some problems, you know? And I said, that kid, come here. So I said, Joshua, come here. Go get that kid. He goes, that's my brother. I said, okay, bring him here. And I said, God gave me a word of knowledge that he's tormented in his dreams. And so I said, ask him if he has bad dreams. And so he goes, Joshua goes, So he asked him, he said, yeah, he has bad dreams all the time. And so I got to pray for him. But I said, does he know Jesus? And Joshua goes, I don't know. I said, oh, ask him. Has he given his life to Jesus? And he said he did. So I got to pray for him. And he was so overwhelmed with gratitude. But the things that we saw and the things that we experienced were so precious. I've never seen feet so dirty. I was convinced for sure that there were problems. There was times we saw problems with their feet. One kid was missing part of his big toe. Some of them looked like they had their feet were broken. And so to put shoes on a broken feet and have to try to measure that, that was very difficult to witness. And as you wash their feet, I'm like, I think there's something, you know, I don't know. There's a black spot right here. They have issues with parasites that burrow through their feet. And that's why we do shoes, because this parasite can actually cause death. And it's very prominent in the young people, the very youngest of children are very susceptible to it. So this parasite burrows in its feet. It emits a poison that is itchy, and then it numbs that. So the kid doesn't even feel it anymore. And then at that point, the parasite lays its eggs and it spreads. Okay, so it's a very pervasive issue. So whenever you look at their feet, if you see one of those, you're supposed to kind of let them know so they can maybe start some treatment plans for this kid. So I think every foot, I'm like, oh, that's one right there, get that thing out, you know? And they're like, no, that's just dirt. And I'm like scrubbing the ends of their toes. And it was really humbling to experience those. But whenever you're done fitting them, you pray for them. And they know what it means to pray. And so I would sit down there, grab their little hands, and pray with them. But the next picture, I think, yes. Oh, I don't think I sent that picture. Oh, that's the video. That's the end of the video. Okay, I prayed for that girl. okay, at the end. But this girl, she said, can I pray for you? That, I immediately burst into tears. I wasn't ready for that. Because she was receiving from me, but she wanted to give to me. And I'm sitting there thinking, no. But I let her pray for me. Couldn't hear three words. But she prayed with all of her heart, and that just blessed me so intensely. So the gift that they gave us were so much richer and so much more beautiful. And it's just an experience that you will process through. I will process through for years to come. But their kindness and their gratitude is absolutely beautiful, and how they express it, whether it's praying for us or after washing one foot, this girl gets up and then she kneels in front of me. And I said, wait, get up. You know, no. And that was a sign of respect. And it wasn't like worship. It was just respect. And I was so humbled. It's just beautiful. So those are just a few of the snapshots. We did see miracles. We did. It's beautiful just to be able to experience. So I just want to say thank you again. Thank you so much. If you get an opportunity to do it as well, go.
It's crazy because a lot of people are like, oh, you have to be back. And of course, I mean, I miss my family, miss hot shower. There's things that you miss. But it's really hard to go from living life with people and serving and making an impact and making a change and coming back and like checking emails. Like it feels so, what am I doing? I was unpacking and I opened my closet door and I looked at all my shoes. And I just cried. So I think we're all still in process mode. So if I cry, try and hear through the mumbles. I think a lot of our Kodak moments are the same. If you want to go to the first photo. Just like Pastor G said, it was just so humbling and just wonderful when you go to the first place and all these kids are just body slamming you with hugs. And anyone that knows me, I love hugs, so I just kind of cradled them in and kissed their little heads. And later I found out I probably should have done that, but I was fine. It was fine. But it's just really sweet to see how excited they were to see us and to receive us. And they were just, like she said, like, I had, like, two kids on one hand, two kids on another hand. One wanted to hold my water bottle. Another one was holding onto my pants. Like, just wanted to be involved and close. And it just, like, I don't know. I didn't feel anything come out, like, oh, I'm pouring out to these kids. It just rejuvenated me, honestly. It was a wonderful way to start our first shoe give. So those are just some of the sweet faces I got to give hugs to. Then you can go to the next one. These are two different places, but a similar heart, so just hear me through. This is the second church we went to, the photo on the left. And it was like their whole youth group, I think. Up on front, singing a cappella, praising and worshiping. Just like literally getting it hard. One guy in front of me, he's like, eye contact the whole time. It's crazy. It's good. That was good. And then next is, her name is Joy, and bro, perfect name for her. She just was so joyful, and you saw in the video of us all, like, singing a song, and before we did a tour of Soul Hope, which they also give shoes to kids, but they also help with jiggers, those parasites Pastor was talking about, and just everyone there was just so joyful to do what they were doing, and they, like, lifted and encouraged one another up that they were working with, like, just the heart of Soul Hope, and everything was just like you could feel the Holy Spirit. It was just really awesome. But one thing that I love about them and that really convicted me is their heart for worship is so strong. Like, it means something to them to praise God. it means something to them to give God what he deserves. And how often have I been upset with life, thinking I should be in a different place, thinking I should have something different, and we're seeing the goodness of God, and I don't want to see it. Oh, and they're just, I mean, we have so much more in abundance than they do, and they're just praising with everything they had, and it just convicted my heart, and I kind of want to be a challenge to you guys, like, praise God. He deserves it. It's not really about how we feel, but as Pastor Jody taught us before we left, there's so much more to it, and it brings a victory, and it just really convicted my heart, and so that was definitely a Kodak moment for me. This pretty girl's name is Pretty, I kid you not. We did a Sunday school at the second church we went to, and I was over the Sunday school, and bro, I was sick. I was so nervous. I was, like, just not okay. I was, like, shutting everyone off, putting my earbuds in. I was like, Lord, fill me up. I'm so terrified right now. Well, it went fine, as you would expect. It was actually so great. And so she was in my Sunday school class, and then after the class, we broke up into, like, small groups to get more, like, one-on-one time with the kids to pray for them and all that stuff. And she was in my small group. And then when we gave shoes after service, she was in my line. And she was just really highlighted to me. And she was older. She was 12. So I was able to kind of talk with her a little bit more. But also, I could ask her, like, what do you need prayer for? 12 years old. She asked for wisdom and nourishment. Those were her prayer requests. I was like, girl, I'm praying so hard for you right now. You don't even know. But just like, it's a perspective change because she didn't ask for another dress. She didn't ask for more shoes. She asked for wisdom and nourishment. I was like, Lord, please never make her hungry again. So that was just a big eye opener, but also really sweet to spend time with her in Sunday school and the small group and to have her in my line. I just felt really blessed. So this picture is actually on my nightstand right now to remember to pray for her. So if you think about Pretty, pray for wisdom and nourishment. That's what she wants. And this is one of the artisans. So the artisans make the shoes for the kids. And my 360 project, their whole thing is it affects everyone. So it affects the child that gets the shoes and the family. It affects the artisans who make the shoes. It affects the persons that goes and gives the shoes, the people that donate, just so they can keep on doing what they're doing. That's what the My 360 kind of stands for. This particular artisan's name is Justine, and we met them the first day. They did a few shoe gives with us, and then the very last day when we met them for lunch again, they kind of all shared their testimonies, and hers just really stood out to me. She was kind of working hard. She was washing clothes. She was just doing what she knew she could. Most of the time, she didn't get paid. A lot of men would be like, "Who could come into my house and get payment?" And she's like, "No, I'm not coming in your house for that." And she said that she even got a she had a reputation for being like a good woman that she wouldn't go in and do that. But it was just really cool to see the impact that My 360 had on the children and the artisans. She said multiple times, like, I don't know what I would do without My 360. She's like, the fact that I have a stable income, I can live by myself, I can afford my rent, and I pay my rent before it's due. She's like, she's helped people get food, get clothes, and she was even, I mean, she lived in Uganda her whole life. She's never been to the source of the Nile. She's never been to a zoo. And, like, My 360 takes them on trips. So it's more than just a working relationship. They're investing in these people. It was just really incredible to see. So her story just really, she got to go to school. She didn't get to finish high school. And so she went back. She's currently going back right now. And she's getting her high school diploma. So that was just really cool. She was such a servant girl. She was trucking food and shoes and chairs. And she just was always smiling, always joyful. And just really a treasure. It was really great to meet her. So I think that's all. Those are all my photos. Go to the next one. Okay. Here you go, Kaylee. Hi.
Very nice.
There you go. I really just want to say thank you again for your support, your finances, your prayer. It was very felt and very evident. We had a great team, and we were, it was really good. This picture in particular, this little boy, his name is Davis, and Davis actually had just lost his dad 3 months prior to this, and the lady that worked there told me that he was orphaned, but we were also under the impression that his mom worked at the bakery, so I'm not sure if he lived with dad and then moved in with mom after, but either way, he was very curious about us. Probably because you're a bunch of Mzungus. But he, cautious. Like, he wouldn't get super close, but I wanted to play with him so bad. And I was like, do you want a piggyback ride? And he was like, you know, so I showed Manda. I had Manda get on my back. I was like, you see? Like, this will be fun. I was trying to sell it. And then Pastor Jody tried to help me. We didn't sell it. But I was able to play with him just by literally acting like I was going to get him anytime he was near me. And he would just throw his head back and laugh. Like, it was the funniest thing ever. And it didn't matter how many times I did it. He never got tired of it. So it was really awesome. And then before we left, so in Africa, when you wave to someone, you have to wave like this. Because this means come here. And I messed up the first day, but that's okay. But anyways, at the end, I, like, did this to him. He would inch closer and closer. And finally, he... actually gave me a hug before he left, so that really blessed my heart. Yes, for sure. All right, these are the artisans, just like Kirsten was saying, and we got to go there, I think it was on the second day, and it was really cool. They showed us everything they do, and it was Moses right here. He's the guy in the purple. He showed us exactly how everything worked, and he was so proud of it, and everything was just neat and tidy. So he just did a great job of explaining it to us. And then everyone else also shared their testimony the last day we were there. And all of them started their testimony with praise God, which I thought was so powerful. And it was just awesome to see how much My 360 had impacted their life as well. They had talked about not being able to pay their rent on time, not being able to afford school fees for their children. Agnes, right there in the blue, actually told us a story about how her landlord had locked them out of their house, and they didn't have any food, and they had to send their child in through the window to grab food for them for dinner. But as Kirsten was saying, they were talking about how they're able to pay rent on time now, and it's not an issue anymore. They, so it's just awesome how much it's impacted them and how evident it is in the way they make their shoes. Like, the shoes that we are giving out are prayed for, and you can just tell they're genuinely made with love. So it's really awesome that they're a part of it. This might not look so special, but this is actually debrief, which was honestly one of my favorite parts of every day. After dinner, we would get together and we would worship and we'd pray. And then we would just talk about the things that happened, the hard things, the things that made us laugh. But it was just honestly just really awesome because we were doing everything together. Like, we wake up together, we have breakfast together. But it was awesome to hear, like, the different conversations each person had with a different kid, or, like, hearing about what certain kids prayed for and how humbling that is. Because at 7 years old, I never would have prayed for nourishment or wisdom or my education. I was praying for a dress. Yeah. So it's very humbling. But it's really special, too. And it's something that I think everyone should have an opportunity to experience, honestly, yeah. But, yeah, debrief, really good. This was the first shoe give. And this one was probably one of the hardest, just because we actually didn't have enough shoes for all of the kids that needed them. It was crazy because we were there for, like, 4 hours giving shoes. And they finally had to be like, stop letting the kids come in. Because there was just so much, and we were having to tell kids we didn't have any shoes left. And it was crazy to see the joy they had for just a simple pair of shoes. And then how, like, even when we told them we didn't have shoes, they didn't complain about it. And they were still open to us praying for them. It was just not a reaction I feel like you'd get here in America.
So that was also really eye-opening for me, which was really special. I'm glad I got to encounter it. It just was hard at the end of the day, for sure. But this actually, the same day this happened, before we left, everything was a time crunch. I feel like we were always running out of time. But before we left this place, actually, Pastor Jody had noticed a woman who was in pain walking. And a couple of us got to lay hands on her, and she, through a translator, started telling us what her issues were. And Kirsten and Pastor Jody prayed out loud. The rest of us were really just laying hands on her. But she actually was able to, like, crouch down, and she wasn't able to do that before. And Pastor Jody even was like, Yeshua did this. Like, so we were, like, giving them, I don't know, it was awesome. It was a really cool experience, but I believe that God really healed her. So it was really awesome to be a part of. I'm done with that one. I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
I also would like to say thank you for all your prayers and everybody that gave. I feel like it was really hard for me to pick photos, what I wanted to share, because I feel like the whole thing was just so good, and it was really hard at the same time, and I feel like I still don't really know what to feel, but it definitely hit my heart really hard. But I like this moment because, just like they were saying, when you get there, they're just so happy to see you, and they just run up and give you a hug and hold your hand, and just the joy you get from seeing their smile was just really precious to me. And a few times I even heard, it's like some kids knew we were there to give them shoes. And so there was a few of them that just had a really big smile saying, shoes, shoes, shoes. So it just made it more exciting. You can go with the next one. This was great to see. I don't know. They've never seen bubbles before. So just the reaction to them seeing things they've never seen before that's so common for us. It was precious, but it just made me think about how there's so many things that are not common over there that are just common here. And this is the place that they did the little dance at, I'm so happy to receive you. And They really were. And there are some really great kids here. And just so happy all the time. Yeah. This is one of my favorites because he was actually in when they first started singing, he was into it. But he was so happy, always had a smile on his face, and I got to put a pair of shoes on him. And when I asked if I could pray for him, he jumped out of his seat into my arms just to hug me. And I just, it just really did my heart good. Because they're so open to it. They want the prayer. You can go to the next one. This was the last shoe give we did, and I think this was definitely the hardest one for me. Just to see the way they lived and how not okay it was, but everywhere you walked, like, they were just running around, playing, smiling, like, it was so normal to them. But this little girl, I'll be honest, I could never make out their names. I don't remember one name at all. So I stopped asking after a while. But this girl asked what she wanted prayer for, and she said she wanted prayer for wood. Usually when they cook, they cut up wood, and they have this big black pot that they make stuff in, and it just kind of like they were saying, it's just crazy how when you ask for prayer, it's not something that most kids would ask for. It's things that they really need that we just take advantage for all the time. So I think that's the last one.
Amen. So some of you may have seen this on my Facebook. I had ordered a pair. They have different kinds there. One is called Art Mox. And our women's ministry did this at one point where we colored them and drew them. And then children, you'll see, I wish I could zoom up. I want to go like this on the screen, you know, but I can't. But you can if you go to my Facebook and you can, you know, do that. But you color them, and the children just love the color on them. And so I actually ordered a pair that my grandchildren, a couple months before, they actually colored them. And I thought how beautiful of an experience for my grandchildren, from children from one end of the world, taking it to another end of the world and putting it on the feet of this precious child. And she happened to be the first one to come up to my line in the first shoe give. And so it was just extremely precious to me to be able to put those particular set of shoes on this little one. And so it is very hard to get their name. I wish I could have, because what they do is they whisper. You say, what is your name? They go, you go, can you do that one more time? And you lean in closer. And then they get really close to your ear and they still whisper. And so they would say, like, Capozzi and Heidi. So you have to, they go from their last name to their middle name to their first name. And so you got to catch it at the end. And so oftentimes it was very challenging. And so you just give up after a while. And you just go, okay, precious one, I love you, you know. So I didn't get her name, but this was a very, very special one for me. So that's my first one. We had a spontaneous give as well. So we had some that were scheduled. My 360 never goes to the same place more than once because there is such a vast need. And even when you do go to one place, you can never supply for every child, which is very grieving. To say no to a child, I'm sorry, we have no more shoes. The girls were just, at some point, I think a couple of them said, I gotta go. Like, I can't do this. I can't keep telling them no and just washing their feet, praying for them. It was so hard for them to look into their eyes, tell them I don't have any more. Because they're looking at, behind us, there are more shoes. There's just none their size. And so it was just hard for them to be able to tell them, I'm sorry, we don't have any more. I was graced by God enough that I didn't have to tell a child that. Sorry to tell you that now, but so Jesus knew I couldn't handle it. They're stronger than me, I guess. So, but we had a spontaneous give where we went out. We were blessed to be able to go to a safari. I didn't put that in the video. You can see that in some of our Facebook posts. But we were able to go to a safari, like coolest thing ever. Giraffes and zebra and all sorts of animals that we were like taking a selfie with giraffes behind us. It was the coolest thing ever. So, but we went to a market to buy some things. And they saw a few kids there. We were about to leave and they're like, we have some shoes. Would you like some shoes? And so all of a sudden, all these kids started coming around and we're like putting them up on the stairs on the bus that we had and cleaning their feet and putting some new shoes on them. And the parents, you could see, were just elated. Like, here, you're coming to help us in this way for free. You know, it's not, you're not buying something from us, but we did buy a lot of things from them, but you're giving us now something for free. And so they said, we want to bless you now. And so they put on this music and these children started dancing to this worship song. And it was just the most precious thing ever. But that just, that was a very precious moment for me as well as a spontaneous gift. And I think we only gave about 20 shoes away, if that. But the gratitude, absolutely amazing. It'll bless your heart more than anything else. So the next one we have, this is Pastor Eva Magurwa. Thank you. So we have actually, Pastor Sean, I met Pastor Eva and her late husband, John Michael, 21 years ago. The contact was through the Rogers. They had known them previous. And so this contact that we made was through Pastor Jamie Ferrara. She wanted to go and meet with them. That was the last church and the orphanage that we went to. So Pastor Eva, she lost her first husband in a car accident. Actually, there were some visiting ministers from Phoenix First Assembly in Phoenix. It is now called Dream City Church, but there were three ministers there. They've been very well connected with them. Pastor John Michael and Pastor Eva would go to their conferences every year, and they were donors to help them as well financially. And being a spiritual help and covering to them as well. And three of the ministers there came to Uganda, along with John Michael, were in a vehicle accident, and all four of them died on impact. This happened in 2011. And this wonderful woman of God, they have about 1,400 children, orphans in their community there. They have built several buildings over the years. It's huge, and we only saw a portion of it. But she also, they have the church as well that you saw, the second church that we went to. And she was unmarried for 6 years before she did remarry. But she continued the work of the kingdom that God had called her to. She kept going with that orphanage. She kept going with the church. With the support she had there. But I said, woman, you have set a precedent. You could see that her life is just dedicated. She is a faithful servant of God. And she still, the church and the orphanage are probably about 30 to 40 minute drive, and she lives about in the middle. And every single morning, still to this day, Pastor Eva will go to the orphanage to lead all of this. I think there's 700 of them in the school. She leads them in prayer and worship still. Every morning, she's about 65, comes every morning still. I'm sorry? At 6 a.m. in the morning, every morning she still goes. So this is Pastor Eva with the orphanage. If you could go to the next picture. We were getting a tour, and we saw that the children, they do have spigots. They do have some running water. They're on the compound, but they were collecting water in the buckets. And so I inquired. We saw that these children carrying buckets of water. And there's a lot of hilly area in this. Like, I learned how out of shape I am by just doing a tour of the orphanage there. I was like, okay, I can do this. I can make it. And I did. But it was hilly. So I'm saying this to inform you that these children were carrying buckets of water up these hills. And so I inquired after I saw this, and Pastor Eva said, well, if you could pray for us, please, because one of our pumps broke. I said, so you do have water? She said, yes, but just not in this general area. So the children have been having to carry buckets of water up for us just for this particular area. And I said, how much does that pump cost? So she had one of her gentlemen, because shillings, like 10,000 shillings is like $3 to us. And so he said, it was like some million shillings or something. I go, okay, U.S. dollars, let's talk U.S. dollars. I can't translate that right now. So found out that the pump that they need is about $1,300. And so our impact offering is going to get a pump for them, so those children don't have to carry buckets uphill just for them to clean themselves. And so thank you for those of you who every year we ask you to just pray. We say, just pray and ask Jesus, God, how much should I put in the impact offering? Because that's what it's supposed to make, is an impact. And every year God shows us throughout the year where it's supposed to go. And so God showed us the $1,300 of this year's impact offering is going to go for these children. That is my last one, right? So this is what we're doing. pure and unblemished religion as it is expressed in outward acts, in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit and to look after the fatherless and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself uncontaminated by the secular world. James 1:27. So we are going to look after the fatherless and the orphans in one very small way, and that's just fixing a pump so that they don't have to bring those uphill every day. And so we also, as a church, are going to become My360 donors on a monthly basis, and to make sure that, because we give to different missions, missionaries every month, as well as the outreaches that we do locally, but we are going to add them as well to it. So we also, a couple other things I just want to explain. The chiggers that Pastor Jody's talking about, that embed into their jiggers, what I call them, chiggers? Jiggers, they, right? Jiggers, okay. Embed into their bodies and create disease and even cause death. What they encourage them to do is they teach them how to get them out with safety pins, teach them how to bring cleansing, hygiene. But they also teach them how to, because they live in brick homes that literally most of them, you will just drive by, and a brick home may be 10 by 10 that houses a family, 5, 6, 10. And there's no running water, there's no electricity, and they teach them to take cow dung and mud and mix it with water and to spread it across their floor about once a month, because that will create a barrier for them from the chiggers being able to come up and bed in them. They don't just get it on their feet. When they lay on their sides and they don't have a mat, they'll get it on their arms. They'll get it on their legs as well. So there is another ministry called Soul Hope that we visited, that My360 is partnering with. They also make shoes, which my granddaughter actually is wearing a pair of those. I wanted to invest into their ministry as well. They're the ones that actually take out the jiggers, but they make these kind of shoes that are different from My360. So what they do is they take recycled tires to make the tread and recycled jeans to make the shoes. In every pair that they give also comes with a safety pin, because they teach them how to get the jiggers out as well. So there are many ministries there that they're starting to connect with that also make shoes as well. So we thank you for sending us, for supporting us with your prayers and financially. There is some Ugandan coffee. I don't know if it tastes much different, because I like coffee with my creamer. Do you get what I'm saying there? I don't really taste the coffee. I taste the creamer. So I don't really know if there's a huge taste difference to it, but today we have enough to do that. And then for our children, we just have a little something. This is a Ugandan sucker that does have bubble gum in the middle of it. So parents and guardians, once we hand this out, it's all on you now. All right? I have no more responsibility. But we want, they are mango flavored. Ugandan suckers, and so we're going to make sure to hand these out here shortly. And adults who also are like children, and you want a lollipop, let's just get it to the children first, and then we'll spread it out. I knew Mark's hand would be the first one up. I just knew it. So we want to make sure we'll hand them out in just a moment, but we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We will, I'm sure, at least I know I will be putting up a little bit more videos to expose different things that we didn't put up today. But we are the church. So every child that we prayed for, every child's feet and toes that we cleaned, we all did it together. And I want to thank you for your support and pray if God wouldn't have you do the same. They also have them in Mexico, which is, they're shorter, they're only 5 day, but there are a lot of opportunities that are available. And so we want to make sure that you are prayerfully asking Jesus if he would have you be involved in one of these. I believe personally that every Christian should at least go on one missions trip outside of this country at some point in their life, because it will change your life. And so once again, we thank you. I know, Pastor Sean, you have something about, yes. And so, children, don't stampede me. But children, come. Children, come and grab one of these. Yes. Look how good they're being. Yes. I'm sorry. Oh, no, I forgot something. Ladies, come up here, you ladies. This is something so special to ours. Whenever we went to go see the artisans, and we're going to close with this. Whenever we went to go see the artisans, they just love praising Jesus. Did you see the churches? They just love praising Jesus. And but every time we'd even go see the artisans would always sing this song together. And Mama Agnes, she's one of the older ones. They call the grandmothers Jaja. Jajas. And so, but she is a Jaja, but they call her Mama Agnes. And so she would always be the one to lead us in this song. And so we just want to go ahead and sing this. It's very short, but we want to sing this with you so that you can experience what we would experience whenever we were at the My 360 project site. So if you could go ahead and play that, make sure that volume's up, Joe. All right.
You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega.
You are Yahweh.
You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega.
Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the time to come together and to rejoice in what you have done. It is all because of you, and it is all for you. Jesus, our lives are surrendered to you. May you always find a yes in the hearts in this house. May we never wrestle you with obedience, but may you always find an instantaneous heart of obedience from us. Jesus, it is all because of you, and it is all for you. You are Yahweh. We bless your name, and let the church say, amen. You are dismissed. Please join us for the baptism.